No, Nataim Ralph. Yeah, we did get to Nataim Bates, but we had to interrupt. So we're up to Nataim Ralph. Why is this not recording properly? This is Rebecca Lever's too low. Okay, that's better. We'll start from the sixth line from the bottom. Chabrai B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, the Chevra said name Rabbi Yochanan, time of the Rabbi Yehuda, the lodge of Rabbi Yehuda, that says that if a husband has relations with his wife and his mother-in-law, that they're both forbidden unto him. No, you're on the wrong page. The Zion and Aleph. No, page before. Page before. We backtrack. Six points at the bottom. Chavrai B'Shem Yochanan say, time of the Rabbi Yehuda, the lodge of Rabbi Yehuda says that if a person has relations with his mother-in-law and with his wife, that they're both forbidden. Because it says, Be'eshis and Fuhol Sobesen, it says, in fire they should burn he and they. Monica, what are you talking about? Him and the answer, if it's talking about really burning, and your service of Achas, the last one is burnt. Now, I didn't make this probably clear last night, but what happened is that you have relations with your wife, and then with your mother-in-law. Is your wife at fault that your mother-in-law had relations with you? No, so why should your wife be burnt, right? So it must be talking about only the mother-in-law. Down with mothers-in-law, right? So, but the thing is that, however, Monica Meinlian Sreifman says, Elchazmin, Meinlian the Sreif, if it's not concerning burning, they only burn the mother-in-law, Tanei Weinlian is sorry about the prohibition. And it means that it backfires on you in that only your mother-in-law would get burnt at the stake. It's not actually at the stake, but however we burn people. But your wife is also forbidden to you. You have to divorce her wife. Why? Because it says plural, that's head. Akadun Krabi Kiva, that makes sense, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Kiva darshens the Gemara that way. However, Rabbi Shmuel, like Rabbi Shmuel, who darts the pasuk away. Rabbi Shmuel darts the pasuk differently. How so? Time Rabbi Shmuel Shmuel says, "Be'eshis afu oso ve'eshen." The fire should burn he and they. Who ve'esh shnia? And he darshens that you burn him and the second one. Meaning, if you have a relationship with your wife and then your mother-in-law, then you burn the mother-in-law, not the wife, right? But in any event, so he learns that said as referring actually to the burning itself. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, there's no source for Rabbi Yehuda Svacha that, or Rabbi Yehuda's Halacha, that both of them are forbidden, both the wife and the mother-in-law, because the only way you can learn that is if the word Esen is not necessary in order to teach us who gets burnt. So that I say, teach us that they both are forbidden. But if it's necessary to teach us, as Rabbi Shmuel darshens, who gets burnt, i.e. the second one gets burnt, because he darshens that Esen means the second one, so then you have no pasuk to teach us Rabbi Yehuda's statement that both of them are forbidden, both the wife and mother-in-law. Okay? But anyway, says Mar, after that, that's kind of like it was an interlude. For you, Beis Shammai Donim, now we get back to Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai was the ones who said, out of an aleph, that they're both forbidden when you have relations with your wife and her sister. It forbids you, her, and the wife, okay? So Beis Shammai made a kavachomer, a very interesting kavachomer. They said like this, where a light Isser male comes out and has relations with a light Isser female, it forbids the person who creates the prohibition. Now, I don't know, the Korban Bnei Moshe seems to go awry here, with all due respect to them. It seems to talk about if adulterer has relations with an adulteress, right? She's married to somebody else. So then the woman becomes also to the adulterer, right? So, Khan, it should be instead of Kavan, here, by your wife's sister, this is a more severe prohibition. Achos Ish is more severe than Achos Ish. Why? I think Mora's going to explain why in a minute. So therefore, is not Kavachomer, that the cause for the prohibition, meaning the husband is forbidden on his own wife. Again, just like over there, the adulterer is forbidden on the wife, even if she divorces her husband, because he caused the problem. So to the husband, who caused the problem by having relations with his wife's sister, should be forbidden to stay married to his own wife afterwards. Okay? So says the Gemara, no. Rabbi Yochanan says, Rav Hayden Ishtu Issachar, which is the life prohibition, which are extrapolating. So Rabbi Yochanan wanted to say, as I just said, Rosh the Pirka, beginning of our parak, we have a woman who's married to a man, she thinks he's dead, and then somebody else comes and marries her, right? Which is a shesish, right? Vahe no kol, that's considered to be a light iser. That's the most severe iser in the books. You throw the book at them, right? Enu al choymer, severe. Says more, no, that's less severe. Shani, it's easier. Shanisa slo derech heter. There, they thought it was mutter, right? Since they thought it was mutter, so therefore, it should be lighter. As opposed to here, where they thought it was severe, where there was no, you know, severe was your wife's sister. So there, it's much more severe. It's a kavachomer. If there you're forbidden, then here you're certainly forbidden as well. So it says the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshu, Rabbi Amar, that's not the pshat. That's not the Yisra Kal. That's not the Yisra Kal at all. Rather, what did Yisra Kal tell you? The Yisra Kal is like this. The brides where Bashar made a kavachomer said about somebody who takes back his divorcee once she married somebody else. So that's, and then we said kavachomer, if over there, right, she's forbidden to her husband, in other words, her original husband can't take her back after she was divorced and married to somebody else. So kavachomer, we should say that if a man has relations with another woman, with his wife's sister, that he can't go back to his wife afterwards. So it says, Amara Lomeli Mishni, says a kind of a parenthetical remark. Why are you talking about a grusha, a woman who's divorced, remarried completely, and then divorced again and tries to marry back her original husband? Afilu Mishni Sarasa, even if she got betrothed only to a second husband, the same thing should be true. So it's more, begin the Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur. No, it's not true because Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur. Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur Amar, Mina Eresi Muteris, if all she did was get betrothed to a second husband, she's allowed to go back to her original husband. Okay, so if we said if she got married to a second husband, it really is a parenthetical remark, nothing to do with our discussion. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ben Nafel, Yavama, Shenafel, Yavnei, Yavini, Masnisa. Beisham is extrapolating and making the Gavachon based on the case where Yavama falls before two brothers. And also by Echame, Maimer, one of them does Maimer, Chakapo, Leshnia, and the second one has relations with her. So the second one has related, so now they're both also. Neither of them can remain with her. Neither the one did Maimer, nor the one who had relations. They both have to, one of them has to do Chalitza, and they both have to give Gittin. So if that's the case over there, where it's a lighter Isser, because Yavama is only alive, it would seem. Although it's not clear. Actually, I take that back. There, Yavama is not so light, actually. Yeah, it's a lot. It's not Kores, because there was a Chi of Yibum here, because the wife did have no children by her husband. So it's Chi of Yibum. So for the other Yavama to have relations with her, it's hard to do something to her. It's only at worst a lot. So that's the case. So also, Ben Chaman, Chakapo, Le'asheni, one of them did Mimer, and the other one then had relations with her. Lomeli also, so in that case, we say that she's forbidden to both. So Kavachomer here, the other one should be forbidden to his wife. So Sezmara, again, a parenthetical remark. Lomeli also by Mimer. Why are we talking about a case where the first one did a Mimer? A few also by Mimer. Even the first one didn't do Mimer, or instead, let's say he gave a get. So we have the same problem. If the first one gave a get and the second one had bio with her, so she's also on both of them. And vice versa. Lomli Ba, why do you say the second guy, Dafka, had bio with her, had relations with her? I feel low by low. Even let's say the second guy only did Mimer. She still has to get divorced from both and has to get a chalitza for one. So that's what I'll tell you. Begin Beis Rabbi Shimon. The Tamon. It should be the Tamon. Begin Beis Shammai, begin Rabbi Shimon, the Tamon. Because Rabbi Shammai holds that Rabbi Shimon over there. And boy, will this stir your memory. Rabbi Shimon holds that Mimer either works altogether or doesn't work at all. Right? We had three shitas. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach holds that Mimer is complete. Rabbi Shimon says, I don't know if it works or not, but it works or it's completely. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work at all. And Rabban holds it's a miktsas kinyan. Okay? Now, even Rabbi Shimon holds although Mimer is either kind of completely or not quite at all, get is only a miktsas kinyan. Miktsas partial. Rabbi Gamliel holds that get works the same way as Mimer, according to Rabbi Shimon. that either works at all, doesn't work at all. Works at all, completely, it doesn't work at all. Right? But Lamaisa, Rabbi Shimon holds Mimer either works completely or doesn't work at all, and Get is a quasi acquisition or quasi Ptur, works only halfway. Okay? So there is its Reish Alma holds a Rabbi Shimon, so therefore, there's no such thing as Mimer Achar Mimer. Right? Right? Because either the first Mimer worked completely or it didn't work at all, and if it didn't work at all, the second Mimer doesn't work either. Right? So Mimer after Mimer is meaningless. Right? The only thing you can have is Bia after Mimer. And vice versa, if the Get made the Miktsas Kinyan, if a Get made a quasi Kinyan, right, or to begin with, she got a Get, quasi Kinyan, quasi Ptur, quasi exempted, quasi didn't. So then afterwards, you can't talk about Bia after Get the same way as you talk about Bia after Mimer, right? Because then the Bia, the second Bia, is already questionable what it's going to affect. In other words, here we're talking about she would need a Get from both, right? But if the Get is a Miktsas Ptur, so I don't know exactly what the next step is going to be if there's a Bia afterwards. So the Gemara is saying, in order not to enter into that question of what exactly the Suffolk would be and make the Suffolk as clear-cut as the Suffolk can be, we said the first brother did a Mimer, which either works or not, and the second brother then did a Bia, which if the Mimer worked, then the Bia is irrelevant. If the Mimer didn't work, then the Bia is relevant. And that's the most clear-cut Suffolk without the extraneous elements of quasi-kinyonim and not quasi-pturim. So that's why he picked the case of a Mimer and after the Mimer, the Bia. That's a parenthetical remark. So in any event, so this is a Kavachomer. Again, the Shama makes Kavachomer from one of three cases, either from Eishes Ish, right, from a married woman who had adulterous relations, or from a woman who was married, divorced, and then remarried, which is prohibited. Divorced, remarried, and then divorced again, and remarried back to her original husband, which is prohibited also. Or a case where a woman fell before two Yevamim, two brothers, and one did Mimer, and another did Bia. In all these cases, the woman is also on both, right? So the woman is also on both. In all those cases, says Beis Shammai, Kavachomer, in the case where a man has relations with his wife's sister, that he's also on both the sister and the wife. Okay? That's Beis Shammai's position. So says the Gemara, when you have relations with your wife's sister, your wife is fine. I mean, your wife might not want, but you, as far as you're concerned, you can stay with your wife. I'll tell you what the machlokus is. You have relations with your wife and with your mother-in-law. Beishamay says you can't remain with your wife. And you can't, well, you can't, obviously you can't remain with your shviger, but you can't remain with your wife either. Beisumim lo pasal, Beisul says, you cannot remain, you didn't repass your wife, only your mother-in-law, who's pasal anyway. So you Beisul done it. And Beisul made their own logic, and they said, they laid out the case as follows. Ha'ish mutar b'chol anashim. A man before he starts marriage is allowed to marry any woman he wants, right? And a woman before marriage is allowed to marry any man she wants. Once he betroths her, who asara, he forbids her, he asars him. To a greater extent is the prohibition that he prohibits her, meisur shehi osrato, from the prohibition that she prohibits him, right? How so? Osrato, he forbids shehu osra lelechli nasei zar. He forbids her to marry any man. Filosato elakro sevavat, and she only prohibits him from marrying any of her relations. Okay, so far so good. So says Umar, okay, so now it's a Kavachomer. What's a Kavachomer? Ma im hi she isura iso merube, she who's got becomes more severely prohibited, v'shogalav, and she unintentionally commits adultery against her husband, shogalav isura, lo nesra la mutar law, she doesn't become prohibited to her husband if it's unintentional and he's not a Kohen, right? So her adulterous relations do not prohibit her to her husband. Who she sugo isim remuat, he who has less prohibition in marriage. Marriage by him is of a lesser status. Vishaga bisuro, and he inadvertently transgresses, has relations with his mother-in-law. Don't ask me how it was inadvertent. But if it's inadvertent, eino dinchlo asur lamutlo, is not kavachor that he's not prohibited to. He, to whom he was originally permitted, meaning to his wife.
But it's an error that he has relations with.
It's but so does she. Because then, by definition,
everyone's an
erva. Right. The Gemara is assuming that that's also called an erva, just like a mother-in-law. Okay? But says one of the obvious question is, Hadain Din, that logic works b'shoyge, when she was they were unintentional. But what about b'mezid? What about if he intentionally had relations with his mother-in-law? Okay, and we know if a woman intentionally has adulterous relations, then what happens to her? She's up the creek, right? She's prohibited, right? So what about adulterous intentional relations with his mother-in-law? Well, they still say in that case, right? So the amazing thing, how do we know the same thing, say the same thing by intentional relations? So we pull a pasuk out of her hand. It says, oisa, she's forbidden. Oisa shchivasa osarta, there's no case in Torah where I have relations with one woman and another woman becomes prohibited. Doesn't work that way, right? Of course, there are cases like that, but the cases are more mostly by marriage, not by relations, right? If I have relations with my wife, so that doesn't answer everybody else because I had relations with her, but it answers her everybody else because I'm married to her, right? So there's no case in which relations with a woman will prohibit somebody else at all. And therefore, relations with my mother-in-law can't prohibit relations with my wife. That's what he's saying here, okay? So, amazing night time. Lomar, oso, shchiva, oso, oso. I guess says oso more than once. Shchiva, oso, sarto, your forbidden relations prohibit you yourself. Ain't shchiva, sacher, so, sarto. But the forbidden relations of somebody else cannot prohibit you. Imi avui, the Shmuel bar Imi. Imi, the father of Shmuel bar Imi. B'shem Rabbi Yehuda said the name Rabbi Yehuda, halachic Rabbi Shimon, then like Basila, that we do not answer his wife. As uvda kumi Rabbi Moni. Well, a case like this came from Emunah, where a kid had relations with his, by the way, it's a case like this in Lady Behuda too, a very famous case of a guy, Talmid Chacham, who was living in his father-in-law's house, and, he was being mezana with the mother-in-law. I haven't told you recently, but it's an old case. Maybe when we lived in the Bavli. So the question was, after several years or so, he wanted to do tshuva. So he asked him what he said to do. So the Bavli tells him what to do tshuva. Not to eat meat on Mondays and Thursdays. I don't remember fasting Monday, Thursday, not to eat meat the rest of the week. A whole bunch of things he tells him to do. He tells him, you can stay with your wife. He'll be passing his mutter to his wife. And you don't have to tell your father-in-law. I think he says you don't tell your father-in-law because he's not mechuyev to believe you, and because you're only an eid echon, and therefore you're not mechuyev to tell him, which is a tremendous chiddush, because his mother-in-law obviously is also on his father-in-law because she was mezana, but since she's not mechuyev to believe you, so therefore you're not mechuyev to tell him. I believe that was the psak, if I recall correctly, which is a very shocking thing, very big chiddush. Anyway, so here such a case came from Ramona. Vapikla, and he made the guy divorce his wife. Okay? Not like the Nabi Yehuda, right, obviously. To Savak Rabbi Yehuda. So says my wife, because he holds a Rabbi Yehuda, we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who passed and said, both are us, are both the wife and mother-in-law. We don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Ella shoy some Yisragelis lavo etzlo. The mother-in-law used to come always to the daughter's house, and when she used to come, so they used to succumb to temptation. So therefore, he made him divorce his wife so he would avoid his mother-in-law. Okay, so it was like a siog not to come to this unfortunate situation again. Rabbi Bov, Rabbi Nuna, Rabbi Bov, Rabbi Nuna, Rabbi Zaira, Tavayin Rami, they all said. Now this is going back on the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Yossi said, Koshu posai de acherim, posai de atmo, koshu eno posai de acherim, eno posai de atmo. And we'll explain that clause in a minute. But he said it's going back to being in the parak. Ma Rabbi Yossi b'shar advarim. And there was a conversation of this. What does Rabbi Yossi say about everything else? Rabbi Yossi says, the woman of the beginning of the parak, right? A woman who's married, they said her husband died, she went and she married somebody else, turns her first husband shows up, right? So Rabbi Yossi says she doesn't get anything, but she does get a ksuba, right? And that was that because Ksuvah she gets to go and she's supposed to go. So we already said Mamre Yosef Bishard for him. We asked about what does Rabbi Yosef say about everything besides Ksuvah. The Shmimet that we learned from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is going at the beginning of the parak. Rabbi Yosef Mer Koshu Posted Derechem, and the way we learn is like this. Very interesting way of learning it. Koshu Posted Derechem, anytime Basedin causes him to be possible. Basedin makes the problem. How has Basedin made the problem? Because they only had an eight echad, and they had to go to Beis Din, because without Beis Din, you can't allow women to get remarried on the basis of one witness. Right, so koshu posa dechem, anytime the psul occurs by others' intervention, posa deatmo. So he loses everything himself, meaning the first husband doesn't get her metzia, anything she finds, doesn't get her handiwork, anything she makes, because anytime the psul happens through Beis Din, we passel everything. We make the whole thing null and void, you know, bad. No, but we sever all the relationships. The reason, of course, why we do this is to make sure when something comes to base, and absolutely sure of the facts, lest something bad happen as a result. But a case where it's not done by base, meaning that there are two witnesses. So anyway, she can marry. It didn't fail, require a function of base, right? In that case, he doesn't lose everything. In that case, he will get the Metzia and the Maisiyah dying, and the relationship is not completely torn asunder.
In the case where there's only one witness, why is he being punished?
He's not really being punished.
He's losing
Maisiyah. She's being punished.
Right, we said.
But peripherally, she's got to suffer in the shuffle. You're right. He shouldn't be punished.
Right.
But we're punishing him backhandedly, getting at her. Because we're severing her marriage relationship altogether.
We've done that her already because she doesn't get the ksuva.
No, according to Rabbi Yossi, she does get the ksuva. She doesn't get everything else. And even though this is also to his disadvantage, but nonetheless we have to do it in order to declare this marriage null and void, in order to make sure that she doesn't ever go to this, take this lightly. Okay? So, says the Gemara. Now, let's skip the next line because it's redundant. Just says the beginning of the parak again. Rabbi Hillel Shem Rishim Elog said, no, that's not what our mission is talking about. Sorry about something else. So about Achos Ishto Nesua. Very strange. What can I do? I just report it. I don't make it up. It says if guy had relations with his wife's sister who's married, then his own wife is possible. But a guy had a relation with his wife's sister who's a spinster, an old maid, or unmarried young girl, so then his own wife is okay to him. What's the difference? So it says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda b'Shem Rishim ben Lo'i says, Achos Ishto Nesua, his own wife, if his wife's sister is married, Hovu Posed Echem, since he renders his wife's sister then unfit for her own husband, right? He wife swapped basically with his brother-in-law, right? So since he rendered his sister-in-law unfit for her husband, place of the atzmo, so he loses himself, his own wife. Right. But if his wife's sister is unattached, in a place of the atzmo, since he didn't render anybody else unfit, and a place of the atzmo, he doesn't ruin himself either. The Ma'arav Hila B'Shem Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Rabbi Hila said name Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Tzricha Heimenu Get. That's a very, it means like the, he, it's a weird case. The case is like this. What are we talking about? She lost, needs a get. Fei Moshe explains that a guy's brother-in-law went to Chutzlartz with the guy's wife. Okay, Reuven and Shimon are brothers-in-law. They're both married to sisters. Okay, Shimon goes to Chutzlartz with Mrs. Reuven. Don't ask me why they went together.
It's not relevant. They went with honorable intentions. Okay? They traveled to Chutz Laretz. Okay? Now, as they were Chutz Laretz, he heard, Reuven heard, that his wife, Mrs. Reuven, died. And together with his brother-in-law, Shimon, right? So he goes now and he marries Mrs. Shimon. Mrs. Shimon, of course, is not related to him. It's not a Yibum relationship because he and Shimon are not related. But since his own wife is dead, he's allowed to marry his wife's sister, right? Then they come back. Okay? Mrs. Reuven and Mr. Shimon come back. So in that case, Rabbi Hila holds Mrs. Reuven requires a get. No, Mrs. Shimon requires a get from Reuven. Right? Even though it was a mistaken premise, right? He was never really married to Mrs. Shimon, right? Because Mrs. Shimon's husband was alive. Nevertheless, he has to give a get to Mrs. Shimon. Why? Because it's like the first Mishnah Masechta, right? Because it's the opposite, actually, because it's talking about the man. But the man should not have gotten married to Mrs. Shimon unless you check it out completely, right? And since now in this case, this is the case in which Rabbi Hilo says, since Mrs. Shimon needs a get from Reuven, that's why Reuven is not allowed to take his own wife back either, because it looks like he was married to Mrs. Shimon because he has to give her a get, right? And you're not allowed to marry the sister of your grusha. You're allowed to marry the sister of your dead wife, but not the sister of your divorced wife. So since he's got to give Mr. Shimon a divorce, that's why he can't take back his own wife. You see that?
Even though it's not a real divorce because it wasn't a real marriage.
Right. But nevertheless, since Mech Mar Sein issues, right? That's what it says here, that since since Mrs. Shimon requires a get from Reuven, that's why Mrs. Reuven is forbidden to go back to her own husband. Okay? Says Marvei Chavira. Now this is a story back case of Mishnah where you had a guy who married five sisters, but each one was a half sister of the previous one. Remember that case from last night? Okay? So says Mar, how does this work? Now this is complicated. This is back to really enormous. Still kind of depressing. So here the case is like this. First, let me show it to you inside here. It's actually, in the case of Mar Gibbs, there's one person missing. But this is a real Appalachian case here. You have okay. Let's start from Yaakov, but the Gemara really works it backwards. Yaakov was married to Leah. Leah had a daughter, Dinah, right? Then Yaakov died. Leah went to marry Chetzro. Leah had another daughter, Yocheved. Yocheved is Dinah's half sister, right? They're half sisters through the mother, through Leah, right? Chetzron had another wife, Keturah. Keturah had a daughter, Sarah. Sarah is not related to Leah, Dinah, Yocheved. It's a stepdaughter. Sarah is Leah's stepdaughter. Okay, that's what's called Chareg's stepdaughter. Then there's but Keturah, in the meantime, had been married. Then Chetzron died. Now Keturah goes and marries another guy, Besuel. Okay, so Besuel, and with Besuel, she has a daughter, Rivka, right? And in the meantime, Besuel is married to another woman whose name was Chana, and she has a daughter, Milka. Okay? So this is Milka's half sister to Rivka. Rivka's half sister to Sarah. Sarah's half sister to Yocheved, and Yocheved is half-sister to Dinah, right? But there are three different families here. Now, says Gemara, in examine this case. What's the case of our Mishnah? Givar Isle Barta, a certain guy that's Besuel, has got a daughter. His daughter is Malka, right? Okay, he's got this daughter Malka. Besides that, and he's got a stepdaughter as well. What's his stepdaughter? Sarah, because Sarah is his wife's daughter from another marriage, right? So he's got his own daughter, which is Rivka, and besides that, he's got he's got his own daughter, which is Milka. He's got his own daughter, Milka, And besides that, he's got a stepdaughter, Sora. Rivka will come to later. Okay? And then he's got Inu, his wife, Islay Barat of Achorga's wife, Keturah, has a daughter, right? His wife, Keturah, has a daughter who's Sora, who's not related to him. Vichorga, and another, Keturah has a stepdaughter, Yocheved, right? Yocheved is her stepdaughter, right? So he's got, Besuel's got his own daughter, which is Milcah, and a stepdaughter, which is Sora. Keturah's got her own daughter, Rivka, and her stepdaughter, which is Yocheved, right? So far we've covered these four women. As I said, we won't get to Dina, but Dina's a given, okay? So, Vazbundain Ladain, now they married each other. Besuel and Keturah married each other, and Violid and Barto, and they had a daughter in turn, which was Rivka. So we covered, actually we didn't cover Rivka until now. We didn't cover Rivka. We had Besuel has a daughter, Milka, and a stepdaughter, Sora, and his wife, Keturah, has a daughter, Sora, and a stepdaughter, Yocheved. And then they married each other, Besuel and Keturah, and then together they had a girl, they had a daughter, Rivka, right? And then, Dina, as I said, is not mentioned, you start from the wife's stepdaughter, meaning from Milcah, and you work your way down. And that's where Misha starts. He married Milcah, then her half-sister Rivka, then her half-sister Sarah, then her half-sister Yocheved, then her half-sister Dina. So if Milcah is alive, she's muter, he's muter in Milcah, Sarah, who's not related to her, and Dino's not related to her, but he's also Rivka and Yocheved. And vice versa, if Milcah's dead. Okay? If you understand that case, you are fantastic. But in any event, you get the idea. Okay? Says the mission further. More interesting stuff. Ben Teshu Shari Biomecho. I mean that. So it's more interesting.
Why did Kumara bring this up now?
Just to explain the case of the mission. No hidden agenda. Don't look for hidden agendas. You're too big a pupil. Don't look for hidden agendas. It's not there. Okay, a kid who's 9 years old and 9 years and 1 day old, who posei de achim, if he has relations with the Yavama first, he ruins it for the other brothers. If the brothers have relations first, then they ruin it for him. Ella, but how there's a difference. Shuposa tchila, he only spoils it if he has relations before all the brothers. But the brothers spoil if they have relations even after him. Because we're not sure what the status of his bia is, right? So therefore the brothers can ruin it even after he has relations, right? Kate said, how so? Ben Teisha Shoni V'Yamechon of a guy's 9 years and 1 day old. Shabal Yavimto has relations with his Yavama. Pasa, he renders her unfit. Aideachim for any of the other brothers. Baalei Achim, if, however, after the 9-year-old did relations with her, so the brothers have relations with her, or the brothers asuba maimer, they do maimer to her, or nasnu get her, give a get, or chotsu do chalitz on her, paso yoda, they ruin it for him as well, because we don't know what his status is. Now, says the Gemara, wait a minute, habesofe no posel, what happened, why, if, let's say, already one of the adults, did Mimer, one of the adult brothers, and then the kid brother did Bia. Doesn't that possible also? Now, it's only have a way in which the kid brother can possible at the end, if there was Mimer and then afterwards Bia, so his Bia should possible, because Mimer is only questionable, right? So it says, come on again, it's a question. Ella, and here the carbon A changes the girsa. It should be Bim Mamoro, not Lachar Mamoro. It is Mimer. It should be Mamara in a poiso. It is Mimer, he doesn't make her poiso. In other words, make up soul after one of the other bros did already Mimer, because his Mimer his Mimer does not make her poiso. However, Bibioso Poisel, if he has Bia after one of the brothers in Mimer, you're right. In that case, he apostles for the brothers in Mimer, because Mimer, we don't know what the status is. Okay? Elishu Poisel B'davracha. The difference is like this. He apostles with one thing. What does he apostle with? Only with Bia. But the brothers, they pass them with four things. What are the four things they pass them with? They pass them with bia, with maimer, with chalitza, with get. Any of those things can render the yavama unfit for the little boy. Okay? A little boy can only render the yavama unfit for the big boys by doing bia. But if they do anything to yavama, which includes bia, chalitza, yibum, and get, so they pass it for the little kid. Okay? Says the Gemara, Keitza ben Teisha Shaniv Yemechot. How does it work, this case of a 9-year-old in one day? Says the Gemara, you come to the right place. I'll explain it to you. It says if somebody buys a Jewish maidservant, so he's allowed to set her up for his son, right? He's allowed to destine her for his son. Leave no miado, but only for his son. Ain't no miado. He can't destine his maidservant Leachim for his own brothers. Okay, this is Suya Serblaze in Shas. Yield when a man buys a Amma Ivriya. So he's supposed to marry her. If he doesn't marry her, he can set her up for his own son, right? Mm-hmm. But not for his brothers, only for his son. Mm-hmm. Why is that? And the Vashari Terry so coordinated to take out the next four words. Let him be able to destine his Jewish maidservant to his brothers from a Kav Chomer. His own son! Can his son do Chalitza if his father dies? No. You know why not? Yerushalmi doesn't say why, but the Bavli says why. Why can't he?
It's his aunt.
What?
It's an aunt.
It might be his own mother, right?
Well, it's at least an aunt.
No. His son can't do Chalitza, right?
I assume that it's because his father couldn't do Chalitza for whatever reason.
He of his only own brothers, not on children.
You guys are such lamdonim. Why can't the son do Chalitza?
Chalitza on what? His mother?
Yeah.
Well, she's in Israel. There's no Chalitza even anyway.
Why?
She has chopped
her. Cut her exactly! I love this. She's an Erva! Yes. You can't do Chalitza because it's their kids. It's no even Chalitza involved, right? So it says where Ma'ima bench eno kam tachto of the chalitza liyibum. The son can't do chalitza liyibum, right? Hareu miyadalo, but he can be miyad. He can't take the arm of Riaz as own wife. Achim shu kam tachto of the chalitza. The brother who can arise instead of his brother and do chalitza and yibum, right? Eno din she then is not a kavachom that he should be miyader, right? Because he seems to have a stronger affinity because in his. Okay, he can do chalitza, whereas the son can't do chalitza. Says the Gemara, no. Loim amarta bebenchu kam tachta b'stei achuza. But son inherits his father automatically when his father dies, right? Tavachim is as opposed to a brother that doesn't inherit his brother automatically when his brother dies. It's only if the brother has no kids, right, that he inherits, but otherwise it doesn't inherit. Since he doesn't get inheritance of a field, there's no din, no proper din of yud. Now, the reason why steachuz and yud are connected is because steachuz and yud are similar in that they both have to do with inheriting relationships. Because bear in mind that yud, even though an amav is not really owned by her master, Shimcha Knainis is really more properly owned by her master, but the idea is similar, right? It says by Shimcha Knainis you own her and you bequeath her to the next generation. So to your yield can be seen as a form of bequest, a living bequest, from a living father to a living son, right? I'm bequeathing to you, even though we're still alive, I'm bequeathing to you the right to marry this Amma Ivriya. Okay, so therefore, whoever gets the steachuza when the this person dies would also be next in line logically for the concept of yud. Okay, so it says the Gemara, Now, actually, before the Gemara goes on, there's a little bit of a question here, what the continuity is, and the Mecha Mayim as a whole vort here, but the Shari Teretz Yitzchak brings down that there's something missing here, which appears in the Mechilta. And what should be here is a line, a long line, if you'll indulge me. It's, the question is, on the contrary, let's turn around. Let's say that the brother to be the first heir of the father, right? Not the son. And we put the same logic before. You don't have this. If the father doesn't, if the son can't do yibum or a chalitza, right? Nevertheless, he does take over the field when it's left over as an inheritance. The brother who does do yibum, so maybe he should get steachuzah as well. In other words, the Kavachomer is not a good Kavachomer, because if you want to make Kavachomer like that, I'll change the Kavachomer, right? I'll say the Kavachomer is, you can't learn from Steachuzah, because I can make Kavachomer to defeat the Limud, and say that on the contrary, let the Bim leave no Yodana. As I state in Pasuk, Yod is to a kid. It says explicitly, the Yod goes, if you don't marry the Amma, so you give it over to your son, right? Leave no Miyada, Ve'enu Miyada, he destines his Amoriviya for his son and not for his brother. Now let's continue with this line of thought, says the to his son, he destines her for his son, but not to his grandson. Yud only works for his son. Shmuel bar Abba, boy, kum Rabbi Zira. Why? He asked him why. But Parshas Nachlos of it, ben, keben. By inheritances, if there is no son, it goes to the grandson, right? So Hacha here too, Leisavad Vach Leisavad Ben Keben. He don't make a grandson like a son. Why not? Reb Zira says, "Gavalt Kekasha." But the Mali Hoda Milsa, he can give me a teretz on this kasha. Why don't we make a grandson like a son by Yud on a Mashkei Kunditon? I'm going to give him a bottle of fine wine. They didn't have single malt scotches back then, so I will give him a bottle of fine wine. Right? Hey, Sir Rabbi Tanchu. Sir Rabbi Tanchu gave an answer. Are Parshas Nachlois? Parshas Nachlois you asked before. By Parshas Nachlois, I see so Ach Kiben, V'Sharko Krovim Ben. By inheritances, anybody can inherit. It's just a question of who's first in line, but anybody who's relative can inherit. So that's not a proof to our case of Yud, where Yud is unique. Right, that could be used as a type of marriage which is uniquely suited to the son, as opposed to inheritances where a grandson is also like a son, because there we cast a much broader net. Right? Again, by Nachlas, I pass now, I see Sa'ach Kiben, Bishar Kogan Ben, everybody could be like a son. As opposed to over here, and here it should the carbon A change the gears to be, instead of the word Ain, which you have next to Ain, he throws in a whole bunch of words, he says, I'm sorry, not yet. The next one. Here it just takes out the word ain. Here it says, Haresi Sarka Ben Shakari Ben Atoisa Ben Ben Kaben. There you make a grandson like a son. And here the Kormanayad either adds, the Khan here, by Yud, Shalosi Sa'achki Ben, we didn't make a brother like a son, Vishako Kovim and other relatives as well, Ein Atoisa Ben Ben Kaben, here you don't make the grandson like a son. Okay? So that's one answer. Then another answer, why a grandson doesn't do yud? Hey, Sivan Rabban could agree, sorry, and the rabbis said, Haray Parshas Timaeus. I'll give you another example. By Tuma, a Kohen, whose Levi can he go? He can go to a brother's Levi. Haray Tuma, Esisa Ach Keben, a brother's like a son. Vishako Kroven Keben, and other relatives, fathers, mothers, are like sons, he can go to the Levi as well. But Einat, they said, Ben Keben, a grandson cannot go to his grandfather's Leviah, if they're Kohanim, right? Can't go to grandfather's Leviah. So there you see that grandsons are not always like sons. There's certain areas of Halacha, for example, like Tumah by Kohanim, or grandsons are not like sons. So we had two answers, Rabbi Zira. One answer was that you see from Parshas Nachlas that many other people are like sons, and they're not like sons by the Yud. And we see from part of the other Teretz was Rabban the Katsrin's Teretz, that we see by Timaeus that a son goes over a brother a son, you can be mitami for it, no, the other way. You can be mitami for a brother, you can't be mitami for a grandson, so you see a grandson is not so great, such great shakes necessarily all the time. So our master, Rabbi Zira, said, Hazu kundito, and my good wine went down the tubes. Because between these two answers, I'm going to have to give all these people to drink for having told me why we don't make a grandson like a son when it comes to youth. Okay, the Vimiv Nolia then. Now the next Gemara is kind of iffy. What exactly it's talking about, because it's a redundant Gemara. The Ribaz, the long Ribaz in Daf Nun Tes, he changes the one word in the Sugya in order to make the Sugya not redundant. And he says the first Sugya is Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yaakov Racha, and the second Sugya is the same Sugya, but it's Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. And that way, and we have Meitav Yushami, two parallel Sugyas, one after the other, where since there's a name change, so the Gemara brings it down as if they're separate, even though they're quite redundant. That's how the Ribaz learns it. I don't know if the Shari Torah says it so, because I think it works out smoother, even though I'm not sure it's true. But he says there are two issues here. When you do yud, you could require two possible consents. One consent you require is the sons. The other possible consent you can require is the girls, right? The girls. Now we know when the father marries, that the father would marry the Amma, so then you don't need her consent. Because consent was already given by the father who sold her into slavery. But the father sold her to the father. Now, when the son comes to take her, maybe the son has to get separate consent from her, not for the father. Okay? Because it's a new ballgame, right? So says the Gemara, Vim lo yivadena ladas. You lo yivadena, it has to be ladas. Rabbi Yochanan said, leis kan das. You don't need das. And this is the one the Ribaz changed. Instead, Rabbi Yochanan says Rabbi Yossi. That's an interesting thing. Could you look at the Ribaz for a minute down there? Ribaz and Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. The Ribaz says, in the first column, in the seventh to last line, he says, you see that it starts, Yerushalmi? There's a bracket on the line before that. V'davar zemotzi kampon b'Yerushalmi medrash. Many times you find Yerushalmi aleph reishu at barashi tevis as an abbreviation. We'll have a saying arriving in our great iniquities. Einu yodim mihu bala memra. We don't know who it is. At sheyavo Mashiach tzidkenu v'yigale lanu till Mashiach tells us. Chen kasam mechaber matnas kunazal ala medrash b'akdamoso ayin shom. It's interesting. We don't know very often who the reishu is. Most of the time we guess by default it's Rabbi Yochanan, but we have no way of actually knowing.
Yeah, many times you said it's
Yochanan. Right, it's by default I said, but here you see it's not clear. Okay? So we assume that here it is Rabbi Yossi. And he said, Leiskan das, you don't need das. Now, Rabbi Yaakov Bracha, it's kind of Rabbi Yossi, it's not true, you do need das. Now, why is that? Here I'm going to learn again, like I said, the Shlai Torah Seretz Yisrael, that we need her das. And the reason is because we hold like it's kind of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi holds the only time he can be miyai to a son is if there's more than a shavu puta left in the amount of time she has to work. Because we know as time goes by, we deduct from her purchase price the amount of time that she worked. And therefore, if she wants to redeem herself, she needs to pay less money because we prorate it over time. So if she's been prorated down to less than a pruta, there's no yield. Hi, what about the first money? It's gone already. So therefore, we see that at the point in time when she's misya edes, the yield takes place with the remainder of the amount of money which her labor is worth. So therefore, since it's as if the wedding is taking place now, not previously, because we're going by the amount of money left at this time, therefore we need her consent. Okay? It's an indication that it's a new maisa right now, and that's why we need her consent right now. Despite the fact that we would not have needed her consent for her to be married to the father, that's because back then it was a contract between the father and the father. But now it's a contract between her and the son, so we need her consent. Okay?
She's built up her own equity.
What?
She's built up enough equity in her own.
Well, she hasn't built it up. She has remaining enough equity. Because she was sold, let's say, for $600. So it means she's $100 a year, right? So that's her equity. At the time when she's sold, those $600 had passed hands to her father, right? So she doesn't build up her own equity, rather she diminishes the amount of equity that her master has remaining in her. That's really what it is.
Okay, that's,
Okay, it's the same idea, though.
And it's less influence that her father has on
her. Right. Well, her father has no influence at this point. Whatever if the father, that's why I say, if the father was Mi'ayit, so that would have been a result of the original contract, but that's the water under the bridge. That's the more saying. So, as Amar Shmuel bar Abduma, Afilo Tema Iskam Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, even if you hold like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't do you any good. Lo, it should be Ketanahi. She's a Ketana. Says Kotnu, but it's Ketana. It should be, she's a Ketana. So, therefore, how she can give consent? There's no consent necessary. New issue. Even though he's a deno, the das, we need his das. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan miyadena, not true. Miyadena, Balaam no gola, Balaam no katan, the yudas both to his adult, his minor son, and to his adult son, Balaam das, Benchel das, he don't need das. Rabbi Shimon Loki, Shlomo, Enem miyadena, Lim no gola, Bilvad, the das, you're going to yud to the older son, and it has to have das, right? You must have das. Without das, it doesn't work. Okay? So it says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yaakov Baracha.
My kids are babysitting, so I have to try.
So, Nate. He says, Rabbi Shimon Lochmer, any miyadol, no gotol, bilvad l'das. With, you have to have das. Okay? But now, says the word, ben tesh shanim, v'yom echad. A kid who's 9 days old.
Oh, it's me talking. I must have called myself.
Well, it was in my pocket. I must have hit the send key and sent myself a message.
I have 3 minutes of Yerushalmi. It's recording.
Okay. Say this more further. It says, Ben Tesha Shreim Yom Mechot. A boy is 9 years and 1 day old. Osa mona lekoin godo. If he dies, he marries a woman. He dies, so his widow is a widow, and she can't marry a kohen gadol. If he divorces his wife, or does chalitza on a yivama grusha chalitza kohen hediot, then his wife or his yivama is a grusha chalitza kohen hediot. So how does such a thing happen? How can a 9-year-old get married? So daiti Rabbi Yechon, the kohen Rabbi Yechon do potar lo biyudin. He says a cotton has yud nicha. We have a case, right? His father married him off in yud to an Amo Ivriya, right? So that's a case where a minor can get married. Nicha yudin sheyesh ba kinyan. Oh, sheyesh. Look, I don't remember this in the Bavli at all. That I don't remember the Bavli ever giving a case where a cotton can get married. But here's a case by yud. He marries the yusheish l'kinyan osa amon l'kohen gadol. Therefore, if his father is miyayin him to his amo ivriya, so they're both ketanim. He's a cotton, she's a ketana, because there's only amo ivriya by ketana, right? And therefore, when he dies, his wife is an amona, right? Osa amon l'kohen gadol grusha chalutza kohen hediot, and grusha chalutza for kohen hediot, right? Because later on, if he divorces, when he becomes an adult, he divorces his wife or does chalitza, then she begins for a passive for coin hediot. Chalitza lav dafka, I think, here, because I'm not sure how chalitza would work here. Anyway, I thought there's Shimon Lakish, Dupato Bidisuin, Tapetur Minel Chalitza Yibum. But according to Shimon Lakish, who says there's no such thing as yud for a cotton, right? You only have Nisuin. So then, how do you ever have chalitza or yibum?
Oh no, wait a second, so what's this?
Oh, I made a mistake, I see. He makes a grusha kohen grusha chalitza kohen hediot means like this. If he divorces his wife, then he becomes then his wife becomes also to Kohen Hedyot. But according to Reish Lakish, it has chalitz work. If he dies childless, which he probably will since it's a katan, then his wife has to undergo chalitza, right? And that chalitza renders his wife possible to a Kohen. Okay? So that was according to Rabbi Yochanan. But Daita Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, how could Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish have such a thing? According to Shimon ben Lakish, the Potlam in Nisuin, it says you have to, there's no such thing as you would fight cotton, so it would have to be Nisuin in order to work tape. How do you have a case where a cotton marries a woman and then she has to undergo, if he dies, chalitza yibum? It's not shaykh such a thing. It's not shaykh amon al kohen gadol, it's not shaykh kushach chalitza kohen edyor, it's not shaykh anything really, but we picked to ask question on chalitza nibu. For our team, then we learn, nasa ishu meisa reza ptura. If a cotton married a woman and she died, right, even if they're childless, she's exempt from chalitza nibu. There's no chalitza nibu in that case. They weren't really married. So I'm Rabbi Avin, asa shimon lakish Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. A shimon lakish goes to Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda? Betani came, let this in a braisa. Bet teisha shonim yom echad, if a kid's between 9 years old, ad ben shteim esay shonim yom echad, and 12 years old in one day, shev ishtei saris, and he gets two hairs when he's 9 years old, out between 9 and 12, harez esum, it's a wart. Doesn't indicate he's an adult. Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda omer, hareu simonim. No, this indicates adulthood. Rabbi Yaakov, Rebu, Meshem, Rabbi Yisrael said, "Vein she'amdu bo b'shas simanim." As long as they stayed there from the time he was 9 to the time he was 12. Also, we have a case of Reish Lakish. A katan can possibly marry when he's 9 years old if he had two hairs then, which he kept all the way till his bar mitzvah. In that case, his marriage is a valid marriage. So Rabbi Yochanan says a valid marriage if it was yield. Reish Lakish says about marriage if he had simanim, he had two heirs which he retained until the time he became bar mitzvah.
Simanim doesn't give das, it just gives
it. It's not, no, it does. It does. Das. Yeah. That's a sign of das for Torah purposes, because that's maturity. Rabbi Yossi by Amdu Bosi Bishadi, but he asks the Lomb's question. Amdu Bobishah Simanim, Limafreu Nasa Ish, Omikanal Habit, does it work retroactively? Or from here on in. Now, according to Rishloi, it's not a kasha. We said it must be retroactively, because otherwise you don't have a scenario where a katan can make grusha, chalutza, amona, so it's got to be retroactively. But his shayla is according to Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Avum shitalei mafreo. Rabbi Avum said it works retroactively, unasayish. Kosh kein lab, and it certainly works from here on in. Dipata dad Rabbi Shimon Lakish, right? Because he learns, like Shimon Lakish and Ne Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, that this is the scenario where he got simanim when he was 9, kept his bar mitzvah, works retroactively. That's how he learns, right? So v'lama leis Rabbi Yossi Potter, Adad Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yossi ask the question, not learn like Reish Lakish, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, that works retroactively? On Rabbi Mona, said, do you trichole? He doesn't know. If Rabbi Yossi boy, because he's Rabbi Yossi, he asked the question. Now, the way the Ritbaz learns, I can't get into Ritbaz, but he's prior that before the gift is supposed to be Rabbi Yossi, now Rabbi Yochanan is from this line over here, but it's very late. I can't get into it now. So Rabbi Yossi. He says Rabbi Yossi had his akasha, right? He didn't know. He boy, I'm the Baba Shatzi money, my friend. I see some kind of up. But he didn't, even though Reish Lakish clearly learned this retroactively, but he didn't know if it works retroactively. Okay, so it says, Manicha Amana. I understand how he leaves her an Amana. He dies. But what about a Grusha? How does he leave her a Grusha? So how does he Megarisha? When does he give a get? He has to give a get as an adult. A child can never give a get. Tipah, according to Reish Lakish, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a question, right? So Tipah, the Shabbat Aleh, he had a relationship ceremony with the Ketana. But when he became an adult, that's when he gave a get. Chalitza, how do you have a case of chalitza? Tipata shebaleh umes. He had relations with her, then he died. And even as a minor, according to Rabbi Yochanan, right? V'chotzul achim, and the kid, the brothers, did chalitza. V'ayodov, now he now says chalitza. So he doesn't do chalitza, he can't. But through him, the girl becomes a chalitza. So says, if that's the case, me'ata afilu pachos mi ben teisha. If it's working through youth, so why stop at 9? Maybe it works when the kid is 7, 6, 5, 4, right? What's the limit? I'm Rabbi Shmuel bar Abduma Bikini. You think it's like that? Bikini, it's talking like that. You're right. Bikini, tani kulan teisha tana fuimot. Since it says, when does a bia start being bia? When he's nine. So there we start. We said the youth is also when he's nine. But it can make youth for any time times 4 or 5 years old. Says my no. Rabbi Yehuda by a positive shame, Rabbi Shubin Levi said, May Achaz Lomad Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda by Rabbi Yehuda learns from Achaz that there's a limit down. The tiny Achaz only been Pesha. Her Achaz was out, gave birth when he was nine, conceived was nine. Farim ben Shesh, the Kalev ben Eser. Command Amar, who call it ben Chetzon, who call it ben Yifuna? Quite opinion, call me Chetzon, call it ben Yifuna, the same one, for reasons which I'm not going to get into now because I already almost missed Mark. And so it's clear that he gave birth when he was 10. But name it, so after Mantur, Haron is before Mantur, so after Mantur, the earliest we see somebody conceiving a child is 9 years old. So we assume that that's the cutoff, that below that a person cannot get married, even by youth.